Thank you, Mr. Wallach. Happy Sabbath, everyone. And thank you for all of your patience at home as we continue to evolve the technical situation and work towards methods that are going to work better for everybody. So we're still working out a few kinks, but we appreciate your patience with that, as well as your input and your feedback. So without further ado, if I were to ask you if you believe that you are a wise person, what would you say? Do you feel like you are in the habit of making wise decisions? What exactly is wisdom, and why should we seek it? The topic of wisdom that I'll be covering today is, I chose it because when it comes right down to it, life is all about choices. And those choices can sometimes be right or wrong, but it isn't always that simple. More often, however, one choice might be wiser than the other. Today, I'd like us to discover some of the things that the Bible has to teach us about wisdom. And we'll talk about the practical application of biblical wisdom in our day-to-day lives. But first, let's do the traditional thing of defining the word wisdom. I chose two definitions. The first one is dictionary.com, which defines wisdom as the quality or state of being wise, knowledge of what is true and right, coupled with the judgment as to action, sagacity, discernment, or insight. Wikipedia also defines wisdom as the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, and understanding, common sense, and insight. I like this definition to an extent, in that wisdom comes from a combination of knowledge and understanding and experience. I wouldn't, however, include the common sense, as I feel common sense inherently can be excluded from wisdom, as it does not require any special wisdom to understand. Hence the name common sense. Perhaps common sense should be renamed simple wisdom. But I digress. So wisdom comes from a combination of knowledge, understanding, and experience. In other words, one cannot just read the book of Proverbs, for example, and suddenly be wise. Not even reading the entire Bible 100 times would make a person wise. Sure, they may be better in a better position with the knowledge that they've gained, and they may even gain some surface-level understanding of who God is and what He wants for us. But without the experience that is necessary to teach one the true value of that understanding, they would not be able to turn that information into wisdom. You see, without application, knowledge is just information. Wisdom is something that we gain over time through trial and error. When we make a poor decision, for example, we have to pay the price, and hopefully we learn from that experience. We can even learn from the poor decisions of others through observation. Many poor decisions can even lead to death. For some reason, I'm attracted to these videos on YouTube that analyze disasters and how and why they happen. I watch motorcycle crash breakdowns and analyses. I watch Chemical Safety Board, or CSB, reports on chemical plant disasters. And Air and Safety Institute videos about plane crashes and why they happen. And there's always this common theme in these reports and analyses. It always comes down to one or more unwise decisions made by a human being. Whether it's poor planning and oversight, a lack of following safety procedures, or taking proper precautions, or any other number of human errors, poor decision-making by humans is always found to be the result of these accidents. On the other hand, when we make good decisions, we reap the benefits that come with those decisions. And especially when we gain momentum and begin to habitually make better decisions, the benefits of those choices are compounded, and then we can prosper. This is why wisdom cannot be gained without experience to build us up over time. Wisdom is cumulative. When Solomon asked God for wisdom in 2 Chronicles 1 verse 10, we see that God answered his prayer because God was grateful that Solomon didn't ask for riches or long life. So God granted him wisdom and great wealth because Solomon had asked God for what God would want for us to ask him for, which is wisdom. And not wisdom for our own sake, I would add, but wisdom to be able to better serve and protect God's people, as Solomon asked. This is what we should pray for. And remember, it doesn't say that Solomon was instantly granted wisdom either. It was still something that grew in him over time and through experience. But it's crucial to remember that when we seek out wisdom as our intention, that we will make better decisions as the result, and we will learn and grow much faster than we would have otherwise. Wisdom, praying for wisdom can also be a self-fulfilling prayer, because when we seek out wisdom in our hearts and minds, we will find it. However, when we pray to God for wisdom, God can guide that process, ever increasing our potential to learn and grow. James 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Sometimes we ask God for things that may not align with his plan for us, or for what we ask God for what we think would be the best outcome for us. But oftentimes, God knows better. I believe that these prayers, he doesn't always answer for our own benefit, unless, of course, there's something important there for us to learn. But like Solomon, when we ask God for what he would like us to have, such as wisdom, understanding, mercy, compassion, etc., those prayers he will always answer. So why should we ask for wisdom? Well, because it's good for us, and it's good for others around us. It brings us peace and happiness. If we use wisdom to make all of our decisions, we will live without regrets. As already mentioned, it can even save our lives and even the lives of others around us. Proverbs 3, verse 13 through 15 says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her." Proverbs 8 is written from the first-person perspective of wisdom personified, and I encourage you to read that on your own when you study wisdom. In fact, there are so many scriptures in the Bible about wisdom. If I could go through and list so many, but for the sake of this sermonette, I encourage you to do your own Bible studies on wisdom. It is one of the greatest things that a person can study. Let us not be fooled into thinking that because we are in the church and have been called by God, that we are already wise. When I began working on this message, I started examining my own decisions throughout my day, and I quickly realized that I still make a lot of unwise decisions. I guess that I had settled into a mindset that as long as I wasn't breaking God's laws, I was okay. But examining my choices within the context of wisdom opened up a whole world or a whole new perspective that I had been passively ignoring, I suppose. Sure, my wisdom meter was still running, but I guess it was set to a low setting where as long as I didn't feel like my life or salvation were in danger, I was okay. I realized I make a lot more decisions based on selfish wants, needs, or laziness instead of what is best for me and the people around me. This is why it's so important for us to seek out wisdom by praying for it daily and reading our Bibles routinely. I remember a message I heard at Camp High Sierra one year. Unfortunately, I don't remember who gave it, but he told us about when he was starting to learn the truth, he was instructed to read the book of Proverbs. He would read a chapter every day, starting at the first day of the month and then finishing the book by the end of the month. And he did this for several months, and the impact that this activity had on him was life-changing. This is something that we can all practice. It takes very little time each day, but imagine the impact that it can have over time if we are taking what we read and using it to make better decisions every day. If we could track the results of a wise decision making against the decisions that we would make without consciously considering wisdom of our choices, then we could chart the results on a graph. The graph would be astounding. In terms of joy and peace and prosperity, I think we could draw two lines. The line representing the individual that doesn't consider wisdom would likely be flat, not growing or gaining much peace or joy or prosperity over time. Although this individual may feel like he's doing what's best for him in the moment, the overall outcome of his decision-making over his lifetime would be quite bleak. On the other hand, the line representing the individual who considers wisdom in all of their choices would be like a parabolic curve, shooting straight up the graph and growing exponentially in terms of prosperity and peace. Imagine having that kind of control over your life. Well, I'm here today to tell you that we do have that control. We just have to put aside our selfish desires and make every decision count. We must pray and ask God for wisdom like Solomon did. We all have a lot of decisions to make every day, and therefore millions of opportunities to make the right choice. Whether it's what you say in a conversation, what you decide to put on to go to work that day, or even what you happen to read or post on the internet and social media. This is only compounded by the prevalence of social media and the internet, but that's not my purpose today. We must avoid things that might change our focus and cause us to forget to choose wisdom, such as worldly music, television, bad company, etc., etc. And we need to read our Bibles daily. We need to do this to help us maintain the focus and the mindset on the greater picture. It is so easy to get distracted and to lose sight of what is most important. And Christ, as Christ instructed us in Matthew 6:33, to conclude, we must always seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added to you.